We have a guest coming up, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Tame Iti, and hopefully my board up will be able to bring him up now for you. Because it's basically, we're on the cusp of some very, very nuts stuff. And, yeah, hold on a second, ladies and gentlemen. I'll just see if I can get our guest up for us now, because it's basically, he's pretty awesome. Hold on a sec, we'll just see if we can add him to the chat. Tame Iti. He's one of the top Māori activists in the country. Tame, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show.
Yes, apologies for being late.
don't worry. It's funny. Oh, well, I'm sure you were just detained by some...
Detained on the, by the rain and the blockade on my road.
Have they still got blockades and everything going down?
It's just a local blockade.
Oh, for the love of for F's sake, honestly.
It's a local blockade. No, it's just a community blockade.
All right. Well, Tame, I'd love it if you could just kind of preface for the listeners, just kind of who you are and what's been going down. Go ahead, mate.
Yeah. I'm Tame Iti from the Tūhoe Nation, and I have been involved in the I have been an active in this community nationally, internationally for more than 30, 40 years. And in the recent situation for us, that I was one of the detainees that detained by the states, and for the accusation on terrorism. As you well know, that the in 2007, this community was invaded by the police on an assumption, based on their own assumption. And so our case is in front of us now. So I understand that some of these matters were taken to the Supreme Court, that they had a hearing there yesterday and the day before in the Supreme Court in Wellington. So
is this the Supreme Court that cost taxpayers something like $8 to $16 million and completely wiped out our access to the Privy Council, so that our incredibly small judicial community, where most of them are actually related to each other, and indeed there's a husband and wife who are judges.
yeah, I understand that too. But more than that, I mean, the whole operation based on the own illusion of paranoia that we, the taxpayers, spend something like well over $20 million. This is not this is prior to where we are now, but there's a 2 years operation as to monitoring the phone 24/7, my cell phone and others that the other people that they've been monitoring. So they weren't just monitoring the 18 people that was arrested, but nearly every person in our community in Tāne Atua, Ruatoki, a population about 2,000, and Tāne Atua, Ruatoki population 2,000, and Tāne Atua population about 1,500 people. And so, and then other people right throughout the country that they believe that they were making some types of plan to terrorize their community, which is not true, as you understand.
Yeah. I mean, what were we talking about? The suppression of the reality is my main concern, Tame, is that we have Judge Winkleman, as soon as he ruled that 7 out of the 9 warrants that were issued were proven to be unlawful, he then sealed that judgment so that the media wasn't allowed to report on it. And then when Vince Seymour from KiwisFirst.co.nz reported on that fact, the Solicitor General Collins is after him like a dog with a bone. You know, what kind of society are we living in now, Tame?
Well, I'm appalled by the nature and the behaviour of a system that's supposed to be a democratic process, and in fact, that in the last few months that they've been acting not a democratic process, but a more dictatorship, and dictating the goalposts by in every minute. So we are in the situation where the system itself now saying that they will make a decision that this matter will to be heard by judge alone, and so we have no say in the matter, and so there's real difficulties. And they say that the court stated that very clear from the High Court, and stating that the matter that the police obtaining information was unlawful practice by the police, and but they still allowed those the police to use those information, although it was unlawful practice by the police.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say the police just put the awful into lawful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I understand that we're all cross our fingers, and hopefully the decision will be quite different to that had been in the last year or so. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to cross our finger, because if the case in front of the Supreme Court is favorable to us, then therefore see you later. And then. Yeah.
Well,
we have a big coffee party.
Yeah. Well, that would be what we'd be really hoping for, wouldn't you say? Is that if the judgment gets returned,
yes,
and it coincides with the original judgment by Judge Winkleman, that hey, you couldn't have been lawfully allowed to surveil these people, let them go. But my concern is that the only reason why they're saying, oh, we can't do a jury trial, we're just going to do one judge, is because I think they're setting you up. You know, they're going to have a corrupt judge there. This is just my pure speculation and opinion on my part. You know, I don't have any evidence to back this up. It's just in my experience looking at the judicial system, anybody who is essentially a danger to the system, and by a danger to the system, I mean they actually are doing something real for the people of New Zealand, and the system inexorably doesn't want any good to come to the people of New Zealand, only good to the corporate fascist scum that rule this country. You know what I'm saying? And and they've got their boys in Parliament, they've got their boys in the judiciary, you know, they've got this puppy locked down. So it's no surprise that they go, oh, well, you know, you guys and all of your evidence that you've got that police acted unlawfully and ruthlessly smashed in your doors in the middle of the morning and bugged all your cars unlawfully. And basically, they instituted a mini police state on a completely innocent town. Okay, and if the public knew the truth, they would be up in arms.
Totally.
And so therefore, they have to make sure that they have a judge that's in the pocket of the evildoers in order to try you guys.
Well, I think you got a good panel there. I understand it's a really good panel there, the Supreme Court. So let's hope and think and. The people that there was at the Supreme Court here in the last couple of days, they see some nice, you know, from the information that was given to me, that they weren't too happy at the way the police behaved themselves in the prison, in their presentation. So, I just pray to the gods, you know, the ancestors, and they hopefully, I'm hope that they are on their side.
Well, you know, I think that scrutiny really does need to be applied here. And as far as I'm concerned, Tame, an attack on one is an attack on all. You know, if you stand up and you try to establish some description of independence, and what was it that they were trying to? You're trying to come up with some sort of an independent sovereign Tuhoi state. Is that correct? I mean, that's what the
Tuhoi always been very vocal and very clear with their stance. It doesn't mean to say that we're creating there. We have a separate state, but we want recognition of who we are. And you know, when I go to the northern people, we don't go and take and have an attitude. So we go there with respect to the Ngāpuhi people. Wherever we go, I went to Scotland last year to Edinburgh, and I go there with respect and acknowledge that the people there are Scottish people, and we have a similar history, blah 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 blah. So Yes, so what we're promoting is not something new. We just want a recognition that and a respect. And as much as we respect your view, as much as we respect the different views of the people they consider themselves to be Kiwi or New Zealander, and that's okay. And but as long as that they respect our views, and yes, we did not see that they are sovereign right to anybody else. Mm-hmm. We will not continue to be slave to somebody else's ideology. And well, we've been saying this for the last 200 years. That has not changed.
Well, you know, you've remained consistent. So why exactly in this particular point in time do you believe that the government decided to strike out against you?
It's from their own paranoia. You know, they're trying to create something, but it's not. It's an illusion. It's not even real. And they start believing their own crap. And so we must resist that type of mentality and behavior. So, and I guess that is what's been happening throughout the world since 9/11. And so they try to create something that occurred that happens in the States, and they're trying to create. And then you got the other scumbags that I'm not saying that, but somebody is behind all of this. Mm-hmm. And so the neo-fascists that within the system itself trying to create their own nest. So we got to be careful of those neo-fascism that they do exist here in this political world, in this country.
Now, Tame, I wanted to know, are you aware of the New World Order?
Yes.
And the conspiracy and all of that kind of stuff?
Yes.
What's your take on that in the New Zealand context?
Well, I mean, everything is designed for the multinational. Everything is designed and conducted and run that they against the group. That the filthy few is against us, and they manipulate the mass by using controlling the media, as you know. Mm. That's why you are today.
Okay.
And so everything is.
We're coming up to break. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to stop you right there. We're coming up to break, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Finney Eastwood Show. It's all about being the godfather. And speaking of organized crime, the New Zealand government, they are the absolute best mafioso critters in the whole dang world.
And unfortunately, they certainly do rule it like a family. And incidentally, they really hate the idea of family, which is where, you know, society is meant to be ruled from. You know, it's like they just go out firing from the hip, don't they, Tame? And it's just all about destroying the family, destroying independence, destroying sovereignty, destroying wealth. You know, it's just destroy, 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 take, take, take with the government.
Well, everything designed to be around to be codependent to their thinking, and then become slave to their thinking, and so we must resist against any formula that's promote that, and then we must resist against that type of formula, because it's not good for you, not good for your soul, not good for your spirit, not good for you physically. So anything that undermine strong family gathering in the strong, because that's where your real true power is. We are all we have our own individual thinking and thought there, but the more powerful, the true power is really collating and getting a united front with everybody.
Do you think that it is sort of like about unity and responsibility, that kind of thing? In my opinion, it goes from a tier system, right? Like your first responsibility is to yourself, your second responsibility is to your family, and your third responsibility is to your country. And if you break the chain on any part of that, each and every part of that chain will fall apart. Do you think that's true?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, the human being is we only we only a small part. We are part of the environment. So we must have a relationship. We have first relationship, not just to yourself, but the ones before us. So we must have that a strong relationship to that. And so we must acknowledge and understand the environment, that we are part of the environment. I'm part of the hills. I'm part of the mountains. I'm part of the river. I'm part of that. And they pull that all away from their own existence. And all of that become a commodity, they become a resource, and then it become exploited. So we're no longer part and parcel of our resources. We're no longer part of the mountain. And so the best thing that they can able to create division among their environment, so you become a shareholder of our Mother Earth. So you no longer become part of a genealogy. I can go back to my connection to Mother Earth. But now they give you a number to it, so you become, they give you a chocolate block, so you become a shareholder. So all of that is breaking down our true concept of our relationship with our Mother Earth, with our mountain, with our environment.
And you find it ironic that if you become a shareholder, the concept of actually sharing disappears.
Totally, because it's the reason that they pushed for that in 1896, and so they created that. So they turned all the blocks in the Uruwera there. They put in little square blocks, little chocolate blocks there. You become a shareholder, but at the end of the day, you really end up with nothing. So I end up with one big chocolate block. I end up with having 10 children, then my 10 children here will have 2 children each. Then your big chocolate block become a little wee block, and then it may not be big enough to put your thumb on it.
And down through the generations, it's basically your chocolate block just keeps getting shaved off generation after generation until your descendants are basically slaves.
So that's exactly what was happening today. So you got in Tangata Whenu indigenous people with nothing. So the only thing they got on there may be their bit of shoes that they don't even own the shoes. They borrow it from their neighbors or they pick it up on the street. So basically they end up with nothing. Yeah. Nothing. So we become slave to somebody else.
And this is very similar, you know, to say American Indian cultures, you know, and of course even South American cultures. Whenever the colonialists came in, essentially, in order to establish their foothold, they needed to destroy the existing wealth, culture, and history in order to basically rewrite it and establish their own.
Yeah, well, that's what the Spanish and the French and everybody else did to Africa and Asia, and right through to South America, to Africa, then they just raped the place, and they just raped the place. They created division, they created borders, they create madness, and their madness still going on. So hopefully that in a new order, the new order of liberation that more and more people waking up to the untruthfulness of the way political consciousness have been conducted by the filthy rich. So we need to have our own plan. We need not to respond to somebody else's problem. So we really, the indigenous people and the working class people need to get together and say, here, in our community, in a big city in Auckland, we need to get our own act together.
Yes.
So, and only they can. Only they, I believe, that where true power is where it is.
Now, you've got somewhat of a an extreme reputation. Now, you're a polarizing figure, Tommy, if I may say so. I mean, on the one side, you've got your diehard supporters who know the truth and actually know you personally and know that you're not a terrorist. You're not crazy. In actual fact, everything you've said so far seems to be perfectly reasonable. But then, of course, there's the other side who basically swallow everything that people like Michael Laws and the government tell them without question, and indeed you get a lot of hate. Now, can you provide me some examples? I mean, other than your entire town being surveilled and having guns pointed at children's heads and such like that during the raids, what kind of backlash are you receiving from the dumbed-down slave public of New Zealand rather than just the authorities?
I think the whole kind of psychological, it's a psychological and physical thing. That the raid itself was a psychological thing more than anything else. And so they tried to create fear within the community, so they came into with their gung-ho mentality. And so I'm assuming they were hoping that the public at large will turn against us, will turn against Tamiti and others. But it didn't, actually didn't work. That whole thing didn't work how they thought it's going to happen. And in fact, that we got more support, that the whole, not just the whole of Aotearoa and the local community reacted and responded quite badly against the police behaviour. But the whole world watched that and it happened. So,
well, that's true because, in fact, raids happened in 15 countries on that exact same day. And yeah. Our chief justices of the UK, Canada, and New Zealand, it's my understanding that they meet secretly every year to coordinate the implementation of new laws and things of that nature. It's like the Commonwealth is simply the common theft, you know?
Yeah.
Anybody has independence, anybody who has resources of their own, or anybody who is basically waking up to the New World Order system, stealing everything from you, is automatically an enemy of the state, because the state, as far as I'm concerned, has now become an enemy of the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. But I think that where we're going, that we need to be more upfront and more transparent with the things that we do. I mean, I don't have a secret society. I'm very clear. Well, many of us are very clear where we stand, where we are. We're a pretty open book. We let you know what we're doing, how we think. And I think that's the way it is. And so, and all the system is trying to do is to try and manipulate the way who we are, because they don't really know me. They don't know Tamiti. A lot of people, they don't know Tamiti. And so they create their own pictures. They paint their own pictures. But I think, in my view, is that the Joe Blow out there are not dumb, you know, and they're not stupid. The ordinary New Zealanders and ordinary Kiwi, they're Maori, Tuhoe, whatever they want to call themselves, they're not silly. So I think that it's time will tell, and it's time will tell. So we don't lie, we don't manipulate others, but that the system rely upon their own manipulation. So they're different, you know. And I don't know whether you watched the video that deep in the forest that was put out there by some of our supporters and been shown around. So there's a good video around that. Of the perception, that the whole perception, that the way the whole rave thing had been manipulated and created by somebody. But, you know, that's a $20 million operation. That's huge. That's bigger than some of the settlement that the government settled with some of the iwi. That's a huge amount of money.
But, you know, and it's interesting. I mean, let's talk about Honi Harawira for a second, breaking apart from the Māori Party, which, in my opinion, they've basically just sold out to National, and that's the reason why he didn't want to do it, because he doesn't follow the party line, he follows principle lines, you know. And so he's starting up his new party, you know, and he's calling a by-election, right? And yep. there's been many by-elections in New Zealand just of late, you know, like Botany and Mount Albert yep. and all of this kind of stuff. And it's going to cost $500,000, right? And for some reason, a national by-election, nobody worries about it. But as soon as Honi Harawira wants a by-election, oh, it's $500,000. It's a waste of money. You know?
But it pales into insignificance by comparison to $20 million. The government spent some money. Some business fellow down in South Island went broke and lost a lot of money. So we had to where they dig out of their own pocket. But physically, they don't really have money. Their money actually don't come from their own pockets. So it's just a lie to say, to tell the public at large, oh, what, the government going to spend, waste $5.5 million. Well, they don't actually have $500,000. It's just a number. It's just a figure. It's not that they're going to come up with a truckload of $500,000 to come in the truck. It doesn't exist. It's just a figure, as you know.
Yeah. It's just all fake currency created on a computer and transferred into somebody.
It's not real.
Yeah.
Figures are not real. It doesn't really matter whether it be $500,000 or $8 million.
Yeah. Whereas getting your door smashed in and getting a gun pointed at your face for doing nothing, that's real.
Well, that's real. That's real. And I always remember the day, and I still think, you know, and I kind of slightly got traumatized by it.
How does it affect you in your daily life? I mean,
I'm all right. I'm all right. I don't take this thing personally, but somebody had to be accountable for that in the end. You know what I mean? I'm not going to lose sleep out of it, but you know, it's quite a traumatic thing.
Yeah.
You know, you got guys there yelling at you, screaming at you, can come out with your hands up in the air, you know, and then you walk out the door, you got a spotlight, blase right to your face, and then you see red dots. And so, you know, how do I react to that? You know, and then I'm thinking, because you only got a split second to think about these things. You only got a split second. You know, the whole scenario happened less than 1 minute.
Mm.
It's a fire. It becomes slow motion, but it seemed like hours. But the whole operation was the prime. That's just in my own household. That's not counting what they were doing, terrorizing the community and terrorizing everybody else that are offenders. And so they, you know, so, you know, and then not only that, they got me out there and they're in their palaclava and in their giwas and their firearm automatic rifle and their pistol each of the 17 guys that was at our home, but they terrorized not only me but my family. And so, you know, and I'm thinking if everything become like, is this real or is this a dream?
I would
never ever forget that. But then there will be a story that the next generation will know about it in the next 100 years.
I think it's neither real nor a dream, but a combination of which. It was a real nightmare.
Yeah. Well, it's a paranoia and fear of people of their own thinking. It's madness, to my view. It's just totally madness. I'm the easiest person you can ever talk to. You know,
really?
I don't have to like you, but you know, and I don't have to kiss your ass, but you know, I can talk to you. You know, and I'm not gonna punch you, but my view and always have been is you're entitled to a different view to mine, and that's okay. And there's enough room there for all of us to be different. So
let me get this straight. This guy believes that everybody's entitled to a different view. Let's pull a Bushmaster assault rifle on him.
Yeah.
You know, and we talk about this insanity, and you know, but you know, and I laugh about it. But it's not funny, is it?
No. I don't think it's a nice feeling. It's a nice for any person to intimidate. You know, we can have a different opinion that can be extremely quite different to mine. And that's okay. I can live with that.
My very special guest is Tame Iti, live from Tuhoe Country. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, the lighter side of genocide. Join us at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. We'll be back in a moment. It's going to be. Nowhere to run. Welcome back. It's the lighter side of genocide. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Check out our fabulous archives and also the remarkable articles from our great contributors at GorillaMedia.co.nz. Speaking of great contributors, Tama Iti we have on the line now. We had a couple of international aspects to cover here before we return back to New Zealand. The UN, NATO, Libya and oil. What do those words mean to you, Tama?
I think it's madness and crazy that the UN have been used by American imperialists and some of the European countries to support used in the UN as a vehicle to attack Libya and yet the same thing that they were concerned about the Libya Gaddafi was killing civilians, but NATO is doing exactly the same thing. But the biggest interest for NATO is for Libya and the Middle East is oil. There's some real atrocious things that happened in Burma. They've been and human rights things have been denied by the Burmese government over there. But what have the U.S. have done? What have they done in Israel? And what they do to the Palestinian people? So it's the same thing. So they pick and choose the way they can manipulate the mass. To believe that this is what they're doing. So they believe they're going to stop the Gaddafi killing civilians, but then in fact, they're not interested in civilians.
Yeah,
their biggest interest is oil.
It's come out that those so-called strafing runs of jets over crowds and shooting them up and that kind of stuff comes out that was a fraud. And it's also come out that Libya is one of the very few countries with its own government-owned central bank. It's also come out that they had a government-owned oil company. It's also come out that they were sharing the profits of that oil company with the Libyan people and that they have one of the highest standards of living in North Africa. You know, so naturally, Gaddafi's a really evil person. Let's bomb all the people.
yeah.
And shifting...
I don't believe half of the things, you know. It's a bit like the Bin Laden scenario. Mm-hmm. And in the Bin Laden scenario, the fact is that Bin Laden was an agent of the CIA who worked with the Mujahideen, which was financed by the CIA. And so was Saddam Hussein, was an agent of American imperialism and British imperialism.
They built you up.
And work for them, they supply all the so-called weapon of mass destruction. So all of that, they're created by imperialism.
Yeah.
Not even real.
And then they're used as a pretext.
Yeah. So we get the population at large are being manipulated to believe, here it is. Then we allowed ourselves to participate in war. This is not even real. It's not even our war. You know, a lot of people died. You know, and killed in the process. More than just the people that died in the Twin Towers in New York.
A million plus.
I'm not saying what happened in New York is right. It should not happen at all. But the Americans created that. As you know.
Well, in conjunction with Israel, as far as my understanding is. And shifting gears a bit back to New Zealand, I mean, talking about oil, we've got Petrobras. Petrobras, you know, putting a probe in their ass. And basically what we're talking about here is that international corporations are coming in, taking our resources, giving us virtually nothing and a stake in it. Our refineries are being shut down. There's no government agency, as far as I know, that is actually involved in the exploration, extraction, and then provision of oil in this country so that we have to basically be part of this international supply chain, which is getting more inexpensive by the day because the big three oil companies are purchasing up refineries, and they had a meeting way back in the day saying, hey, look, there's all these refineries and other oils and oil companies that we don't own yet, so let's buy them out and shut them down so we can force an artificial bottleneck so that we can reap profits off everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and what's happening now is that the protesters and everything. Did you hear about the, did you get that extra warning? The police were trying to recruit a whole lot of Māori police officers.
We're having a meeting. That a meeting to do with the letter that been sent out there from the Whanau Apuni people. There's the iwi down there, and so we're having a meeting today about that. And so that was a leak. We've been made to believe that there may be a possibility of a similar raid that happened here in Tūhoe and around the country may occur in the east coast of the and the east coast in the Kawe. Mm-hmm. So we heard. So they're putting rumors around there. Somebody fired some shot at the boats or somewhere, but who knows?
You've said that the military's actually being called in to help suppress the protests.
Well, the Navy, the Navy boats is over there supporting the base. I think it's based there out in the sea.
Mm. Well, see, this is one of the difficult situations when you talk about protesting, right, is that everybody's got this thing called freedom of speech, okay? Yeah. You're allowed to say whatever you want, do whatever you want, so long as you don't hurt nobody or destroy their property. Now, to my knowledge, nobody has damaged any Petrobras property. Nobody has put anybody in danger as yet, so therefore nobody should be allowed to intervene, okay? I mean, if they want, they can observe, you know, as far as I'm concerned, just like police do with protests like on May Day, for example, which was a bit of a bust, apparently. And so when we're talking about the intervention in the process of protesting, that's when a big red flag comes, a big red communist flag, mind you. You know, and we're talking about the real suppression of dissent in all aspects. And this sort of seems to be almost all-encompassing, you know, the entire globe with this New World Order kind of system is just cracking down hardcore. You know, we had videos come out of the United States where student block parties had huge amounts of police in black uniforms just waltz right in for no reason, really, and just start pepper spraying people on their porches. We've got people now in Syria being shot with automatic weapons by the military there, and the military men who said, no, I'm not going to shoot my own people, they get shot by their comrades in arms.
Yeah.
You know? That kind of tyranny is on its way here, Tame, and I fear for the future of our country.
So am I. And, you know, I mean, in the Tūhoe, Waikato, Taranaki, all the experiences in 1800, they didn't have the BBC in 1860. So they didn't have the CNN and Radio Wāte and BFM. But you know, they did exactly the same exercise to undermine the indigenous people, tangata whenua. So we in another stage, another level. So they're changing the goalposts all the time, so the police, the state can actually change the rules how they want you to know things. So the public at the large have been blinded by the way that the state operates and making sure that the public at large is naive about the situation and what happened to the 18 of us, what happened in 2007. And prior to the raids, what they come up with it, but they seem to be coming out at the Supreme Court hearing. So, it's just a matter of time. All of that will come out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, the whole world will know about it.
Well, you know,
so we have the last laugh. We have the last say in the matter.
Well, you know, I certainly hope that's true. I mean, the difficulty is that they give you these requirements that you have to fulfill both in court and in your daily life and taxes and all of this kind of stuff. And as soon as you are able to make the ends meet, they move the ends again.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's like we're running on a perpetual treadmill, and we've got no nutrition coming into our bodies, so we can't feed our muscles or anything. You know, it's just like
I had to be very careful what I have to say anyway, but I can say so much, so or else I get nabbed or saying the wrong things at the wrong time. But what I can say that I do have fear that the way that our power and we really have, they're trying to shut us down. You know, in our thinking, even in our own thinking. You know, everybody have a different opinion about anything. You know, And I think we're all entitled to have those an opinion, and people should hear it. And I like to hear your opinion. If I don't like it, but I still want to hear, to see where, so I can see where you're coming from. Oh, yeah, I can hear what you're saying, but I don't agree with it. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you why I don't agree with it. Mm. Yeah, and that's okay. I'm okay about that.
Well, that's free exchange of ideas, and I believe that's kind of paramount to life itself, really, is that concept of freedom, you know. I can say whatever I want, you can say whatever you want, but you can't touch me, and I can't touch you, okay? There's that mutual barrier of respect, okay? And respect is a thing that is earned. It can't just be taken. Okay, and quite frankly, I think that the government, with the terror raids and with all this recent legislation, search and surveillance bill, you know, ETS and all these New World Order basic mechanisms that they're popping in here, they are not playing by the rules. And quite frankly, I'm wondering at what point the people who are in resistance to that will stop playing by the rules too. Thanks so much for coming on the show with me today, Tame. It's been a pleasure. And if you have a website,
thank you for that there.
If you have a website or something to fire out, fire away.
I get it. I don't have a website. That the only website is where my feed is at. And where my feed is at, it's the same site that my ancestor was thousands of years ago. So, no, I can, other than that, you have to visit me eye-to-eye contact and... don't come and bug my place, but you know, just show your face and identify yourself, and then say you got a cappuccino for 30,000, 50,000, too. So come in and have a cappuccino.
And just make sure you message Tameiti on Facebook before you show up. T A M E I T I. We'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Tame.
Yeah, yeah. And also.